Is that all right? Can you hear me? Yeah. I'm going to stand in front of the lectern because no one sits in the front row here. I don't know why they put the front row out. No one ever sits in it. I tried to take the back row and put it along the side here, but it didn't work. If you look up the word disaster in the dictionary, you find that it started to be used around the time of Shakespeare, Elizabethan times. And it really consists of two words, dis, which means against, and aster, which means stars. So that the word means actually against the stars. And in those days, they believed in astrology. You know, that the world and world affairs were governed by the stars. So they provided the right order of things, nature and human affairs, everything organised in a beautifully harmonious way. So a disaster, the idea they had that something happens which completely disturbs the normal order of things. And I reckon that's a really important idea. Not that we believe in the stars anymore, but that there is an order to nature and to affairs that allows us to organise our lives. And what I've learned is that having our lives organised in an orderly way is incredibly important. Now, of course, some of us will say that we're hopelessly disorganised. If you were to go into my study, you would get a beautiful case study of a totally disorganised study. Although I know where everything is, which pile on the floor, I could find things. It might take me half an hour, but I know where to look. So there's an order of some sort there. But I just want to talk about that because when we have a big disruptive event, like a bushfire or whatever, it has tremendous repercussions on people's lives in the era of order. I reckon there are three main impacts from a disaster. The most obvious one is the trauma, which is about what happens on the day, about the sense of threat and danger. And I'll talk about that in a minute. The second one is loss, all sorts of losses. Luckily, we didn't have human loss here, but there's all sorts of other losses. Houses, animals, livelihoods, environment, etc. And the response to loss is grief. Grief is the reaction which enables us to accept and adjust to loss. And it takes a long time. But the third one is disruption. And that has to do with this loss of the order of things. Because when we lose the order of things, we lose what in other kinds of crises is the foundation for our adjustment to it. You know, we've all experienced bereavements of various sorts. And if you're in a job that is satisfying and fairly familiar and not too stressful, what a relief it is to go to work and put the problems aside for 8 hours or so and just get in with this fairly clear-cut area of experience and so on. So this order is tremendously important. Well, how great it is to come home to your familiar house when you've got other problems and have your little private world and so on. So the unique thing about natural disasters is that not only, even if you lose your house, your whole environment is disrupted, and it's happening to lots of other people around you. And in a relatively short time, many people find that their friends and relatives outside the area become progressively less and less able to understand what's going on and why it's so complicated and why it takes so long. And so the community becomes more and more dependent on each other. Well, some do. Others tend to go into their own little cocoons. And we know that that means there's a high risk they'll run out of energy. And if we think about this disruption factor, that raises the question of how we understand what the recovery process actually is. We use this term recovery. Actually, some communities don't like it. I know in Strathewen they vetoed the word. They used the word renewal. Recovery actually comes into English around the same time as the word disaster, Elizabethan times. And it actually meant originally to recover from a lost state of health, as in an illness. You recover from the flu, I'm recovering from a head cold. And I'm not quite there yet, but tomorrow I'll probably be back to normal. You wouldn't have liked to hear me if I was here yesterday. I'd be croaking and dribbling and so forth. But I'm recovering. See, I'm going to get back to where I was before. Only that doesn't really apply for most people affected by disasters, that they are not going to be able to get back to where they were before, particularly if you've lost things that you can't replace. Many people's financial circumstances are not going to be able to be what they were before, or if they are, it's going to take them 10, 20 years to get back to that point. Older people are going to say, even if I plant trees and replace everything, I probably won't live long enough for it to be the kind of environment that I've loved living in the last little while. You know, so there are a lot of things like that, that it's really a simplification to say we can recover. The recovery also means in, you know, old English, to recover from a financial crisis. They used to have them then, even. Loss of wealth, and you recover from your financial loss by getting your money back. So if you actually look up the word recover, re means again, cover. Actually, if you look at the primary meaning of the word cover in that period, it's not what we mean now. If I was going to cover this lectern, you'd probably expect me to put a cloth over it, would you? Something like that. So we have that primary meaning of you actually put some surface over the top. But if you look up the dictionaries, what the primary meaning in those early times was cover like we cover potatoes with water to cook them. Immerse in. So recover means to cover again, which implies that in the disaster, somehow we've become uncovered. We've become, had our supportive environment stripped away. And I think recovery is a really important idea of actually building a community life again around what has to happen, this renewal, redevelopment, finding a new basis. Because I think the idea of getting back to where you were before is actually not possible for most people, for many people anyway. It's actually the wrong idea, because it implies going back. Whereas in actual fact, I think we have to make recovery the foundation for the future. Everything's been disrupted, so how do we lay the foundations for a new future, given that probably the old one's not going to work anymore for a number of reasons? The first one would be financial, of course, and material aspects. But there's another aspect to that, and that is the experience of trauma, the intense experience of threat. Now, it's highly varied in a disaster as to who feels affected by trauma and who doesn't. So you get some people who evacuate before the fire comes and lose everything they own. So what's dominant there is the sense of loss. You get other people who stay defend them of fire, but maybe think, I'm not going to make it, I'm not going to get through this. So the trauma aspect is higher, and maybe don't end up losing their house, although they might lose other things. So the trauma aspect is stronger. Let me just talk about what a trauma is, actually. A trauma, trauma medicine is a medical care of externally caused injuries, because the word trauma in Greek, where it comes from, means injury, damage, something like that, wound. So a trauma is an experience that's so intense that it damages our sense of the world, our sense of order. And what you actually find is that in a trauma, there are some fundamental experiences that have to be changed. They're never going to be the same again. You never take them for granted. I remember being up at Hall's Gap after the floods there, and it was middle of the, it was dark, the winter time, and I was meeting in a little hall which had a tin roof, and the rain was falling on the roof, and there was a little community of people like you sitting there, and there was a woman two or three rows back, and she just was sitting there as I was talking, and tears were running down her face, and I thought, geez, I must be being a bit tactless or something. I said, are you okay with what I'm saying? She said, yes, yes, don't worry, it's just the rain. I just cry whenever it rains. Later on, I had a chat to her afterwards, and she told me that she's lived for 20 years up a little valley in the Grampians, and they've never had any floods. And we know with these flash floods, you know, the rain can fall anywhere, and that determines where the flood is. And she said she's... Now, this was, back in the floods in 2000 and whatever, 12, was it? Not too far after the tsunami, actually. And she said, I was standing at my back door and I saw a tsunami come down the valley halfway up the gum trees. Now, she wouldn't have ever known how the lay of land was going to behave for a wall of water, would she? Because it wouldn't have happened. And she thought, I'm going to die. In actual fact, when it came to it, the water just lapped up against her back doorstep, but she wouldn't have known that. But it's that moment where she thinks, I'm going to die. Now, that's the trauma. The trauma is not what actually happens, it's what I think is going to happen, which may happen or not. And in that moment, when she says, I'm going to die, well, what do we do? We try and get ready. Or that changes everything. Hopefully we go through most of our life and we never actually feel as though our lives are under threat. And when that does happen, there's a strong likelihood that it will alter our perspective on lots of things, our perspective of what's important.